Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. I got tickled at these kids up here. I was trying to encourage them to really sing out loud. And there's a little boy in that Truth Walkers named Hunter Hafley. And I really was trying to encourage him to sing out loud. And when they got done, I said, "Hunter, you did good." He said, "Well, it wore me out." He said, "I am wore out." I said, "Well, go to sleep." He said, "I can't till I get home." Hebrews chapter number 11 tonight. Hebrews 11. We've been looking in Hebrews chapter 11 for many Wednesday nights now with the theme of "Now Faith Is." And been looking at all different aspects of faith and how it encompasses our entire life. From the beginning we're saved till Jesus comes, we're living by faith. We are to live by faith. And we started last Wednesday night looking at out of Hebrews chapter 11, and beginning there in verse 29, on faith and walls, and talking about the walls of Jericho coming down. And I'm sure some of you in Vacation Bible School maybe learned a little song about the walls of Jericho come tumbling down and all like that. But we want to look at it again tonight. I thought maybe I was through with it and then we'd go on with Hebrews. But the Lord just kind of settled my heart to just stay there tonight. And I've got, to be honest with you, I've got maybe just one thought concerning the walls of Jericho coming down. And we looked at some things about it last Wednesday night. But I've just got one main thing that I want to try to get in tonight and try to impress your hearts with. And we'll look at that in just a moment. But look in Hebrews chapter 11. If you want to pick up Joshua chapter number 6 also, because we'll turn over there for the bulk of our study tonight. In Joshua chapter number 6. But we'll begin there in Hebrews chapter number 11. And we'll look at some things there out of Hebrews chapter number 11. In verse 29, the Word of God says this. Says, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. And by faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. And by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." We looked at those three verses last Wednesday night, and like I say, I just kind of want to pick up where we left off last Wednesday night and just go on with the thought tonight of how these walls fell by faith. It says by faith the walls of Jericho fell. And I want to try to get this across to you in a manner tonight to apply this to the entire church as a corporate group together. If you will, the nation of Israel was called the church in the wilderness. And they represent the church of today. And you look at all different, you can study the nation of Israel and them coming out of the land of Egypt, going across the Red Sea and headed towards the promised land, how that they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And God did a strange thing with that early generation of the nation of Israel. You remember the story of how God sent 10 plagues into the land of Egypt to be able to get the nation of Israel out of Egypt. But once he got them out and they crossed the Red Sea and went into the wilderness to the Mount Horeb, it said that God gave them 10 commandments. And the reason that he gave the 10 commandments was to try to get Egypt out of them. It was 10 plagues that God used to get Israel out of Egypt. But then he gave them 10 pure, holy commandments to try to get Egypt out of them. You know, that's where God tries to work at in all of our lives. It was nothing for God to get us out of the world. It was nothing for Him to save us out of the world, but try to get the world out of us. That's where God spends the bulk of His time working in our lives, is to get Egypt out of our hearts. And you remember what God said to him when God brought them out of the land of Egypt. He said, "I'm going to bring you into a land that floweth with milk and honey." He said, the land is a good land, a goodly land. and you're going to enjoy the land, and I'm going to give it to you. It's yours. It's the promised land, is what God called it. But you remember when they got into the land of Eden, into the wilderness, and God gave them the Ten Commandments, they had so much Egypt in them that they began murmuring and complaining and griping and wished to God that they were back in the land of Egypt. And God said this about that generation. He said, I was grieved with that generation, and they provoked me with their gods and with their idols. And he said it was a children, now listen to it, in whom was no faith. You know what I learned from that? I learned that when I get to complaining and griping, I am not living by faith. Well, I might just have to come across with that one more time. I've learned from the nation of Israel that when I get to complaining and griping and things ain't going the way that I think they should go and things just aren't turning out the way I would want them to go, I learned this about it. I'm not living by faith. Now, God said about that generation, He said, I swear in my wrath to those people that they shall not enter into my rest. And you know what God did for the next 40 years? He let all of that generation die in the wilderness. In that generation, there were only two men out of all of that. And by the way, let me remind you, there were millions, possibly 5 million people that came out of the land of Egypt and came across the Red Sea, saw the miracles of God, saw God just miraculously open up the Red Sea. They passed through on dry land, got into the wilderness. God miraculously fed them and watered. Can you imagine watering and feeding that many people? But God did it supernaturally. But yet they murmured and complained and just grieved God in His heart. And God let all of that generation die out. There was two men, Joshua and Caleb, that it was said about those two men that they were men in whom dwelt the Spirit of God and men that wholly followed the Lord. And what God did with those two men, He let them raise up children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And that was the generation of verse number 30 where they went across the Jordan River into the promised land up under the mighty leadership of Joshua. And you remember all of that story of how God brought all of that to pass. And now from being a wilderness church, they are now over in the promised land and they become the promised land church. Up under the direction of Joshua, last Wednesday night we brought out some events leading up to the walls falling down. And we dealt with that and showed you some things from the Word of God about that. Then we looked at the entering in to the promised land. How that God miraculously dried up the Jordan River. And here they are, and they go across, just like they did across the Red Sea, across on dry land. And God tells Joshua, says, I want you to set up a memorial of 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan River. He said, I want you to get 12 men to bring 12 stones out, set it up here for a memorial, that when your children ask you in the day thereof, what mean ye by these stones, you can tell them that God did a miracle just like He did at the Red Sea for us, and that He led us into the promised land. So now they're in the promised land. And it said that when they went into the promised land, that they came near the land, the city of Jericho. Jericho was a huge city. Jericho was a strong city. It was a walled up city. It was full of defense and armor and men of valor, the Word of God says. And God told them, He said, I am going to give you Jericho. Why God wanted it, that's God's business. But God wanted the nation of Israel to take this one city by the name of Jericho. And the Bible tells us that by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Now, we want to look at that faith tonight and how God used the faith of, now listen to me, God used the faith of every one of those promised land people, those promised land Jews, to bring the walls of Jericho down. Did you know that your faith is important to this church? Your faith is important as how this church operates and the victories that this church will experience. Your faith counts in this endeavor. Now, I want us to look at some things tonight. And like I say, I've mainly got one main thought. I'm going to give you, you know me, I'm going to give you several thoughts, but there's one main thought that I want to bring out tonight that hopefully will help every one of us to really realize the importance of corporate church faith. Now, in Joshua chapter number 6 is the story of the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. And I want us to begin there in verse number 1 of Joshua chapter number 6. We're going to look at a lot of scripture from this one chapter tonight and try to learn some things about bringing down walls in our lives. Do you know that there's walls in this one room that need to come down? There's walls that have been set up maybe in families. There's walls that have been set up in maybe some individuals' lives. There's walls in that people in this town of Murrillville, Gainesville, that they have put up walls, and those walls need to come down because God is interested in taking the city of Gainesville. Now, I want you to look in Joshua chapter number 6, chapter 6, verse number 1. It says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. It said, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I've given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof. Now watch it. And the mighty men of valor. Now I want to stop right there and just say this. Do you know that there's a lot of men out there in the world that are mighty men of valor that need to be won to the Lord? And if we could win them to the Lord, they would make some good men of valor for the Lord. Hey, I've not always been saved. I was in the world one day, but thank God a preacher came by my way and invited me to church, and I learned that there was another side to this thing called life, and thank God I got in on the right side. Thank God I got in on God's side. I'm thankful tonight to be in the Lord's army. I was wasting my time fighting for Satan. I was wasting my time fighting for the world, fighting for the wrong side. But thank God the Lord saved me and put me in His army. There's a lot of mighty men of valor out there in the world that if God could save them and get hold of their hearts, they would make some good, mighty men of the Lord. So God told Joshua, He said, look here, I've given you Jericho. Now notice that He's speaking this to Joshua, the man that God has put His hand on to lead them into the promised land. Then He goes on to tell him, He said, and you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with their trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Now, let me say this right here. God had handpicked Joshua. He had watched Joshua for years and years in Joshua's life. May I say this tonight? That God's eyes are upon you. God has been watching your life, and He watches your life and notices your life and watches your faithfulness to Him. And God had watched him since Joshua was just a young person ministering there in the tabernacle in the wilderness. He watched him serve up under Moses. He watched him be Moses' right-hand man. He watched him as he went in to spy out the land. And God's watched Joshua, and now he is God's chosen man. And he brings Joshua to the side, and he says, "Joshua, look, here's the plan." Now, he's speaking to a soldier. He's speaking to a man of God. He said, "Here's how you're going to take Jericho." He said, "I want you to get some priests together, and I want you to get seven of them and get those seven men to get some ram's horns in their hands." He said, "I want you to get some other priests, and I want you to let those priests tote the Ark of God." And then he said, "I want you to get all your men of war that's ready to go to battle." And I can just see Joshua saying, "Yes, yes, yes, we're going to walk in there. We're going to storm the gates. We're going to storm the city. And we're going to take this city." And God says, "No, here's the plan." He said, "I want you to go around that city, and I want you to compass that city one time." And he said, "I don't want you to say a word. I don't want any words spoken, and I want you to compass that city one time and go home." And he said, "Joshua, matter of fact, I want you to do that just like that for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, Joshua, I want you to do it the same way, order it the same way. But on the seventh day, I want you to march around that thing seven times. And when I tell you to shout, I want you to order the people to shout. And when you shout, the walls are going to come tumbling down." Would you agree with me tonight? That's odd. That's not really a military plan. That's not something that our military would come up with to go and take a city today. But it was God's plan. Now, why is God doing it the way He's doing it? He goes first to Joshua and he says, "Joshua, here's how you're going to take Jericho." Now, I want you to notice what Joshua does with this. It says, verse number 6, he says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord.' And he said unto the people, 'Pass on, accomplish the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the Ark of the Lord.' And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rear reward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets." Now, just hang on right there. Look up here. Don't go any further. Here's Joshua. He's gotten a word from the Lord. God has given him specific instructions of how he wants this supernatural feat accomplished. And you've got to admit, this is going to be supernatural. This is not forming a committee and letting the committee figure it out. This is God telling them, "This is how I want it done." And Joshua calls all of the priests together. He says, "All right, you, and you, seven of you, I want you to get those ram's horns that you love to blow. And I want you seven to get in front of the ark." And he said, "All right, now you other ones, you priests that are, it's your duty to carry the ark." He said, "I want you to gather up the ark and I want you to follow those seven priests, and they're going to toot their horns. They're going to blow their horns. But now all you men of war," and by the way, there were 40,000 men that have put off their clothing and put on the armor of God, and they are ready to do battle. And he said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want the 40,000 men out front, those 40,000 men of war, of valor, he said, I want them out front. I want the priest that's blowing the horns behind them. And then I want the ark to come up last. He said, that's how God has ordered us to do it. Would you agree with me? That's a bit strange. But what is Joshua doing? Joshua has gotten very specific instructions from God as to how God wants to accomplish this supernatural feat on the behalf of the nation of Israel. So Joshua does what any man of God should do. He goes and communicates unto the people involved what God wants to do. Now, that's an area of my life. You can ask Brother Terry. We talk about this all the time. Communicating is an area of my life that I falter in a lot of times. This is my personality. I hear God tell me to do something. I'm full force going at it, 9,000 miles an hour, and I run with it. But I mess up a lot of times because I don't take time to communicate what God has spoke to my heart to the ones that are involved. Now, when I first started Bible Baptist Church in Waycross, I was the pastor, I was the preacher, I was the tithe collector, I was the secretary. I went and made the deposit. I wrote myself a check. You can ask Matt. We would go down there, we'd clean the church, we'd fix the toilet, we would do everything. But then it came a day when God said, you got to start handing some of that stuff off to the other people. Now, wouldn't Joshua have looked foolish if God had told him what to do, and all of a sudden Joshua ran out there and Joshua started running around the city right by himself? You see, God wanted everybody included in on this victory. He wanted everybody to enjoy the victory that God is going to bring for the nation of Israel. And so Joshua communicates to all of the people, and he sets it just like God wants it to go. There's just one little catch. There's just one thing that Joshua instructs him to do, and it's found in verse number 10. It says, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. I read that, I said, Lord, why did you tell Joshua to tell them people that? Now, he's giving them specific instructions. He said, here's what we're going to do. And he organizes it, does it just like the way God told them to. You know, the Lord's work takes organization. I mean, sometimes you've got to have it organized to where it'll work the way God wants it to work. And so Joshua, here he is, and he's telling all the people how to order it, how to get all of this accomplished. And he said, here's the thing about it. He said, don't you open your mouth until I tell you to shout, and then shout, and we're going to see God do great and mighty things. Now, I'm back in Hebrews 11. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Why was it necessary for Joshua to instruct those people, 40,000 men of valor? That's not counting the wives back home with the children. There's probably that many more back in the camp. There's probably maybe even double that many more back in the camp. And can you imagine it? Here's 40,000 men of war suited up, ready to fight. And there's seven trumpet players behind those 40,000 men. And then there's the ark, which usually was out in front, but now it's bringing up the rear. And here they go. And they walk around the city. And not one word is uttered that day. The next day, Joshua gets up very early in the morning. He says, "All right, guys, here's the plan for day number two. Same thing. Ditto. Let's do it the same way." And nobody say a word. Here they go. And he orders it just like that. And they do that, now get this, for 6 days. Don't you know among that group, some of y'all are staying with me. Don't you know among that group there was some that said, "What is this nut doing? What does he think he's doing? That we're supposed to be conquering a city and he's got us walking around this thing. We do it one time and we go home and I've not seen God do a thing yet." Don't you know there were some that were thinking that? Now, come on, be honest with me. I mean, nod your head, do something. Let me know that you're here. Don't you know that there were some, I mean, this has got to be a Baptist church. Don't you know there were some saying, "You know, this guy Joshua, you know, I liked him at the beginning, but he's starting to act like a nut. He's doing some crazy stuff here. Is he sure that he's heard from God on this thing?" Can you imagine them doing that the fifth day and walking around? Not one person says one word, and they get all back to the camp and Joshua says, "See y'all tomorrow." Can you imagine what went on in the tents? Can you imagine what Mrs. Reuben said? "Look here. Are we sure we in this thing right? Are we in the right church? Is our preacher, has he lost it, or what is going on with this guy?" And can't you imagine the things that were being said back in the camp? Come on now. So Joshua tells them, "Shh, shh, shh." You know why it was so important for Joshua to issue that command? Because things that come out of our mouth can destroy faith. Things that we say at times hurts other people's faith. Here they are. They're in this thing together. God has put his hand on this man, Joshua. And he's given him very strict instructions of how to get this thing accomplished. And Joshua said, "Hey guys, God is with me. Let's go. God has given us the city." But shh, 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 shh. Let's get it done. And they do that for 6 days. The seventh day, Joshua says, "All right, get up. Everybody get up. We're going to do the same thing again." I can see some standing there thinking, "Oh, what? When are we ever going to get the battering ram and blow these gates open? When are we going to storm this city?" And Joshua says, "But there's going to be one little change today. It's the seventh day. We're going to go around it this time seven times." Jericho was huge. This was not just a walk around one little block. This was a huge city. And now he's done this ridiculous thing for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he's telling them, "We're going to do it seven times now." I can hear some of them say, "Are you kidding me? My ticker ain't been too good lately, and I don't know that I can make it seven times. I don't really know that I can make it all the way around this thing. Who's he think he's leading here? My physical shape ain't that good anymore." And there's those standing in the crowd that's just questioning him. Is he really for real? And Joshua said, "Shh, shh. Y'all mighty quiet tonight." And whenever they did it the seventh time, Joshua told the priest, said, I want you to blow it like you've never blown it before. And then he told the people, he said, now shout. And when they shouted, the walls, the Bible says, came tumbling flat down. And they took the city just like God said that they would do. Now, brethren, it's important whenever God builds a church, whenever He puts a group of people together, that we learn that we learn how to encourage faith, not how to damper faith. It's important that we learn to encourage the faith of the believers instead of putting the faith out. I remember whenever God began speaking to my heart about building this building, we'd been talking about it, and I had one preacher tell me, I mean, good preacher, friend of mine, he said, you tear that old building down, them North Georgia people, they'll crucify you. And I've never even thought of that. He said, these people in the hills, they will absolutely crucify you. And so you know what I thought I might better do? I thought I might better start just going to the different ones of the church, especially them that had been here a little bit longer than I had, you know, more than just a few years, and just start talking to them about what they thought. And so I did. And I remember going to Brother Bill and Miss Ed, and I remember going to Brother Theron and Miss Peggy. I remember we was at the hospital whenever I first talked to them, and I was a nervous wreck because I didn't know what their response was going to be. And I went to everybody in this church that I possibly could, and I said, you know, that old building we're in, it's just about to fall in, and, you know, it might be a good thing if we build us a new building and tear the old one down. And you know what every one of them said? I believe you're right. I believe that's the thing we need to do. And so then we began building the new building. I remember calling the church out front. I mean, I believe it. We came around to the side one day after morning service. And I said, there's something I need to tell y'all. And I brought all the church around to the side. It was in front of the fellowship hall. I said, God has told me that it's time for us to start building. It's time for us to start making a move. And we began. What were we doing? We were expressing faith together to get the job done that God wanted done here at Murrayville Baptist Church. You see, everybody's faith was important. It was an active part of what God wanted to do here at Murrayville Baptist Church. It wasn't just Brother John. We were all in this thing together. I believe that's why God blessed it the way He did. I believe that's the reason. Now, I have to admit, along the course of building, there was a few things said here and there that would try to damper my spirit, but I knew what God wanted us to do. You cannot let what other people say dampen your faith of what God has told you to do. We cannot, as a church, let anybody else tell us that, oh, God's not going to bless me. God's not with me. We've got to do what God wants us to do as Murrayville Baptist Church and take the city for God's glory. Amen. You see, it's all of us in this thing together. Your faith matters. My faith matters. Everybody's faith in this church matters when it comes to taking the walls down for the glory of God. You know what happened? Those walls came tumbling down. They have found, just recently, they found some of the remains of the walls of Jericho. They were thick. They were huge. It was a double wall structure. I've seen some pictures of some of the remains that they have found. It was a huge undertaking for the little nation of Israel, this little remnant, to be able to go in and take that mighty fortress of a city. But they did it God's way, and God supernaturally brought it to pass. I've always said it like this: if we'll do the simple, God will do the supernatural. He's not expecting us to be God. He's not expecting us. All He's wanting out of us is obedience. That's all He asks any of us to do. Just simply obey. And God has put all of us in this thing together to get things accomplished for the glory of God. And brethren, if we're going to see walls come tumbling down in this community, around this city, we're going to have to all comply to the way God says that it will work for His glory and for His honor. Simple obedience to what God has commanded every one of us to do. And be sure of this, that when you're talking to somebody else, that you be an encourager of faith and not a discourager of faith. So many times I've been guilty of saying things out of the way that has just, that I know, I mean, God has spoken in my heart afterward that I did damage to somebody's faith. Brethren, we all, will you agree with me that we're not going to get encouragement from the world? We're not going to get encouragement from Washington. We're not going to get encouragement from the evil powers that be. The only place we're going to get encouragement in our faith is right here in this room tonight. And brethren, I want to be an encourager of your faith. And we'll see God do great and mighty, even accomplish even greater things than we've ever seen Him do before. I've been having some more visions. I've been having some more dreams of what God wants to do here at Merville Baptist Church. And I want to see God get the glory before He comes. And get, I don't believe it's going to be long. The Lord's coming. The Lord is coming back, and I want to be found faithful in my faith until Jesus comes. Let's all stand tonight. By faith.